From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben Yaakov.
The United Methodist Church is a denomination divided. 53% of church delegates voted yesterday to strengthen a ban on same-sex marriages and gay clergy.
For many local Methodists, it's been a difficult few weeks. Internationally, the church is divided nearly in half on the issue of same-sex marriage and openly gay ministers. But in the U.S., there's more support, like among these congregants in Chestnut Hill.
I think disgusted is probably the best word I have.
Not at all surprised, but deeply pained.
I was and am deeply troubled and deeply concerned about the impact that'll have this will have on LGBTQ folks.
I'm angry, and I'm also, I would say, ashamed that the institution of the church has not figured out how to be inclusively loving.
Reverend Karen Weissman has been at the center of this conflict nearly her entire life. She lives in Montgomery County now, but grew up in a conservative Texas congregation.
About the same time that I knew I was probably called to be a pastor, I also was coming to understand that I was a lesbian. And in West Texas, both of those things are an oddity.
She comes from a long line of Methodist pastors, including her father.
Yeah, we were rooted in faith and family and just, you know, all the things that happen out in West Texas, which is barbecue and football and, cattle and oil. That's about what happens out there. Yeah.
A few years ago, Karen had to make a difficult decision to avoid being brought up on charges of homosexuality by the church and potentially defrocked.
As Karen watched the recent global UMC conference, she and many of her fellow Methodists wondered, why is the church still so fractured? And will this issue split the UMC apart?
Today on The Why, a house of God divided. Can you just kind of introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do?
I'm Dr. Karen Weissman. I am professor of homiletics at the United Lutheran Seminary, which is in Philadelphia and Gettysburg. We have two different sites. I also am the lead pastor, preaching pastor, at Gloria Day Church, which is in Huntington Valley. Married to my wife for 3 years. We've been together for 25 now and have a son who's at Temple. So that's who I am.
So, can I call you Karen?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I went to seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, at St. Paul School of Theology. It's a United Methodist seminary. That part of Kansas had a bishop that was very, very open, very affirming, and didn't really ask questions. His name was Bishop Fritz Moody, and Fritz had three sons, and two of them were gay, and both of them died of AIDS. Mm. Mm. And he was one of those bright lights in the church, and I didn't get asked the question. I met my spouse during seminary, and I couldn't have denied her existence.
Yeah.
If someone had directly asked me the question, but, you know, you go into local church appointments and I would say, hey, I'm moving with a friend, you know, or I'm moving with a roommate. There was the knowing nod.
There was a little bit of a knowing nod.
Yes,
in that
absolutely.
Interaction.
Yeah. I knew multiple people serving in that conference and in conferences all over the country who were gay, and some of them completely open because they were in areas where they could be, and some that were sort of in the closet but with the door wide open.
So it took many, many years for you to really make that declaration. So in 2014, you and Cindy did come out. Tell me about that story and tell me how you did it.
You know, we had thought for a long time that marriage would be awesome. We'd been together for decades, you know, a couple of decades. And so by the time we were living in Pennsylvania and the announcement from the Supreme Court came out that gay marriage was legal everywhere.
Right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality read just from the bench now.
I decided it was time. So I had a preaching conference out in San Diego and I asked Cindy to go with me. And we went out to the beach one day. She didn't know what was coming. And I asked her to marry me. I gave her a ring. And this was November. And we were going to get married in October of 15. And we didn't announce it until May. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like we told some of our family and our friends and said, keep it under wraps. We're not out yet.
And did you know at that point that in doing that, you might be put in a position where the church would respond?
Absolutely. Yeah. I knew that if we announced it at that moment, that anyone in the church could file charges against me for being a homosexual and I would be brought up on charges. What happened is we were just looking at each other one day and it was like, we have this amazing joy. We're planning this thing and we haven't publicly said it. And in the background, I had started researching other denominations because I knew what was coming. Mm. So in May, we wrote out an announcement together. We cut and pasted it into our Facebook pages at the exact same moment. And immediately, both of our social medias just blew up. People who knew that we'd been together for decades, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. But I got an inbox message from a district superintendent in Kansas, and he said, you just self-avowed.
So what does that mean, Karen?
Well, the language right now in the discipline is that, you know, if you're a district superintendent, mm-hmm. you don't go to pastors and say, are you gay? Now, there are some who might, but that's not the polity. The rule is that I say I am a homosexual in a relationship and I am actively in that relationship. Then the district superintendent can check off a box basically saying you have self-avowed that you are a practicing homosexual. Mm. Hmm. Yeah.
So after you got that message in your inbox, what did you do next?
I called my dad. My dad is 83. He's been a Methodist pastor for almost his entire life. That was probably the hardest conversation I've ever had, to say, Dad, this is it. I have to make a decision. And I said, Dad, I don't think I can stay. We have this great life right now. I'm teaching in Philadelphia. Our son is happy at the high school he's at. We want to get married, and the denomination can't stop us if we don't let them. And so I made the decision that I would change denominations.
How hard was that for
you?
Oh,
it was. It was really hard. The United Church of Christ is a big tent denomination, and there's lots of folks who've left more conservative denominations to go to the UCC. They encouraged me to take an online class of history and polity and theology of the UCC, and I signed up for that class. There were 38 people in that class, and 26 of them were United Methodists.
Huh.
Leaving the denomination.
That's pretty telling.
Yeah. That is pretty telling.
Karen, your dad is a minister. Did he officiate your wedding?
He had done my sister's weddings. He had done several of my niece's weddings. I mean, he's the family pastor, right? He's a family preacher. He does everybody's weddings. And I said, Dad, I can't put you in that position where you might be charged. And my dad went to see his district superintendent and said, my daughter's getting married. I need to know, are there some options that I might have? And he said, no, you can't even pray.
You can't even pray.
What? Can't even pray. He couldn't participate in the wedding in any way. And
was
so
he couldn't. Was he there? Was he at the wedding?
My dad was there. Okay. My mom and dad flew in for the wedding, and they were extremely supportive. But my dad, it was clear that they would not allow my dad to do anything. That was painful, but it was the right thing to do at the time. We were planning a wedding.
Yeah.
I wanted a wedding, not a trial.
Let us be in order. The 2019 special session of the General Conference of the United Methodist Church is now in session.
You know, as you know, last month the United Methodist Church voted to reaffirm its ban on gay and lesbian clergy, and that it won't perform same-sex marriages. When that happened, what was your reaction?
You know, I've been watching this since 1972, and there have been a number of attempts to remove that language. We've gotten close a couple of times. It was even not a huge vote margin difference this time, less than 60 votes. But we knew going in, those who were on the progressive side, that there were three main plans that might be voted on. The two more traditional plans, we were nervous about because they were not just reaffirming the language, but in many of the parts of the plans, they were getting more restrictive and more punitive.
I stand here, Bishop, to support the action we took yesterday that the traditional plan is not only a traditional plan, but the biblical plan. This is a global issue, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
The folks on the right, Africa, the Philippines, Eastern Europe, Russia, and a coalition of evangelicals from other parts of the world. Now, these are places we've colonized. These are places that we have strained relationships with in some instances because our cultures are so different. In the United States, 70% of the delegates voted for the One Church plan.
The Methodist Church continues and allows people to feel their calling that God has put on their heart, no matter whom they love.
If you had asked me back in December or January if I was going to watch General Conference, I was like, no, no, I'm not UMC anymore. I'm not watching.
Get your voting devices ready. Voting on the traditional plan.
By the time it rolled around, I was on the live stream. I was watching.
You may vote now. Voting is now closed. It passes.
And when the traditional plan passed, while I was not surprised, I thought there was an excellent chance it might pass. It was devastating. And I think it was devastating even to the folks on the right because they knew how splintered the church was in that moment. And there's some real serious conversations on the left about whether or not they leave at this point. There's conversations out there. This is going to be generations who heard loud and clear in St. Louis. If you're LGBTQIA, we don't want you.
If there were a split in the church, Karen, would you consider joining a new denomination?
You know, during General Conference, Cindy actually asked me that. She said, if there's a new church, would you join? And I said, no, I don't think so. But in the conversations I've had over the last 2 weeks with mentors, with colleagues, with folks back in Kansas and people across the country, I have a voice that's important. I'm a public theologian. I taught over 200 United Methodist students in different places about their history and polity and theology. And I formed a generation of pastors. And I think I might. It's going to depend on what happens next. And I think I have felt God's unconditional grace all my life, but I put a tap on it. And the church helped do that. And that's tragic. But when I let that go and said, you don't get to control me anymore, it was like this flood that continues to flood me every morning when I put my ring on. And I know that I'm married and that nobody can come after me for that.
Karen, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about
this. Thank you, Karen.
Well, thank you so much for asking me. I appreciate the opportunity.
We reached out to the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference of the United Methodist Church and asked how they're responding to LGBTQ congregants who no longer feel welcome. They sent us a statement which read in part, quote, "We recognize and deeply regret that these prohibitions may cause great distress and alienation for many LGBTQ people and their supporters. But the majority of those who legislate and support these church laws do so on the basis of their strong conservative adherence to biblical beliefs and religious traditions," end quote.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Special thanks to Xavier Lopez for talking to congregants at Chestnut Hill United Church.
Subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and drop a comment on Twitter at Shai Ben-Yaakov, at AnnetteJH, and at Alex Ray Stern.
We'll be back tomorrow.